to consecrate my office, my energies, and all the wisdom I can summon to the cause of peace among nations.
Now those who seek absolute power, even though they seek it to do what they regard as good, are simply demanding the right to enforce their own version of heaven on earth.
I want to thank Secretary Powell for his careful and powerful presentation of the facts.
A pack of lies. A pack of lies.
The United States government has, one way or another, ordered, authorized,
We're making tremendous progress, but there is much more to do to win the war on terrorism and defeat terrorism.
I have a dream.
The fact is, we do need better international governance to help spread the benefits of globalization.
American world domination or paramountcy. Historically, the U.S. sought security, not domination.
Nothing's perfect in life, so you have an election that's not quite perfect.
Now was the time to come forward and say who specifically was on that energy task force and lift any kind of shadow that's still
there. We've been through this issue a number of times.
We need to make sure that the political, the economic, and the security infrastructure of that state is shaped and helped to come into being.
Weapons of mass destruction.
We considered the captured members of Al-Qaeda and its affiliates to be unlawful combatants who may be held in accordance with the law of war to keep them from killing innocents. We must treat them in accordance with our laws, which reflect the values of the American people. We must question them to gather potentially significant life-saving intelligence. We must bring terrorists to justice wherever possible.
The ACLU had been hoping that Khaled El-Masri could tell his story in person, but the organization said the German man of Lebanese descent was turned back at the airport in Atlanta, so El-Masri had to speak via satellite link-up through an interpreter. He described how he was picked up in Macedonia at the end of 2003 and weeks later taken to the airport.
And there, I was beaten down, and my clothes were torn off with sharp objects. They dragged me into the airplane.
I got injections with drugs.
And then I was flown to Afghanistan.
El-Masri says he was kept in Afghanistan for several months in a dark, dirty jail cell with putrid water to drink. He claims that an American ran the prison and at one point acknowledged his was a case of mistaken identity. But he says he was told by a German speaker who identified himself only as Sam that it would take a while to get back to Germany.
Well, I don't think that I want to give you a detailed description of the decision-making process, but I would say that this is a collective effort that involves the intelligence community and the State Department and other interested agencies. So this would be an interagency effort. But I suggest that it might be best to just stay tuned for Ms. Rice's trip. She's about to go to Europe, and I think you ought to stay tuned to what she says during the course of that visit.
The Americans don't want to admit that I was detained by them. They want to obscure the path so nobody would know where I was detained.
According to the suit his lawyers filed today, El-Masri was left on an Albanian hillside 5 months after he was first detained.
The United States does not transport and has not transported detainees from one country to another for the purpose of interrogation using torture.
He's suing three companies that allegedly operated the plane that took him to Afghanistan. His suit also names former CIA Director George Tenet, who would not comment today. El-Masri is seeking damages of at least $75,000. In Berlin, Germany's new chancellor, Angela Merkel, said through an interpreter that she talked about the case with Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice.
I'm very relieved and pleased that I'm able to say that we actually talked about that one particular case, and that the American government, the American administration, has admitted that this man has been erroneously taken, and that as such, the American administration is not denying that a mistake has taken place.
Where appropriate, the United States seeks assurances that transferred persons will not be tortured.
Where appropriate.
If and when mistakes are made in the lawful practice of renditions, we will take every effort and every step possible to rectify them and ensure that they don't happen again.
But the executive director of the American Civil Liberties Union, Anthony Romero, says he's hoping that by pursuing El-Masri's case in U.S. courts, his organization can bring an end to renditions, a practice he says is illegal.
The rules that had been long established and long followed were disregarded in this war on terror. And those changes in rules and policies fell down the chain of command like a boulder off a cliff.
For decades, the United States and other countries have used renditions to transport terrorist suspects from the country where they were captured to their home country or to other countries where they can be questioned, held, or brought to justice. In some situations, a terrorist suspect can be extradited according to traditional judicial procedures. But there have long been many other cases where, for some reason, the local government cannot detain or prosecute a suspect, and traditional extradition is not a good option. In those cases, the local government can make the sovereign choice to cooperate in a rendition. Such renditions are permissible under international law and are consistent with the responsibilities of those governments to protect their citizens. Rendition is a vital tool in combating transnational terrorism. Its use is not unique to the United States or to the current administration. Last year, then Director of Central Intelligence George Tenet recalled that our earlier counterterrorism successes included the rendition of many dozens of terrorists prior to September 11, 2001.
Last year, according to the Post report, then U.S. Ambassador Daniel Coats personally asked the former German Interior Minister, Otto Schily, to keep the issue quiet to prevent public knowledge of the CIA's extraordinary rendition program. Meanwhile, German prosecutors are investigating another case, whether the CIA used Germany's Ramstein Air Base to transport an Islamic cleric allegedly detained in Milan, Italy in 2003. Florian Klenk of the German newspaper Die Zeit says cases like this could illustrate a level of cooperation with the American government in the fight against terror that the German government does not want to admit.
For instance, if we send somebody to Poland, that would be appropriate. We sent somebody to the Republic of Balclampia. Well, unfortunately, they're probably going to do what they're going to do.
When they handed out Qurans to us in Bagram, I remember seeing the Americans passing them through the Sally ports and throwing them to the ground, which some people might think, well, it's just a book. But if you believe, as a Muslim does, a Muslim believes that this is the unadulterated, revealed word and speech of God. And it is the most sacred thing that any Muslim would have in his house. To see them do that, for me personally, brought about a sense of complete desperation that I can't do anything about this. And then for the other Afghans and various Arab prisoners, it was intolerable.
The captured terrorists of the 21st century do not fit easily into traditional systems of criminal or military justice, which were designed for different needs. We have to adapt. Other governments are now also facing this challenge.
And it was, of course, part of the dehumanizing process again. And one of the guards there of that unit told me, when I used to have discussions with them, that when we see you people, we can't look at you as human beings. Our psyche does not allow us to do that. Because if we did, we wouldn't treat you this way. He said, it's easy for us to dehumanize you. First of all, most of you guys don't speak the same language. Secondly, you look different. Thirdly, you're dressed different. Fourthly, you're in cages and we're out here with the guns. The use of torture has now, you know, in the 21st century become a topic of debate. Should we or should we not? And I think that's just such a terrible statement and accent on the state of us as human beings on the planet today. That the people that claim to be the upholders and defenders of freedom are debating now whether it is legitimate to use torture after all of what the whole world's been through, arguing against the fact. And if it does, in one way or another, become legitimized, either mental torture or physical or psychological, in which has been clearly used by several countries, then I think that the world will spiral into something that nobody will be able to control.
America's reputation has been further damaged by allegations about black sites, secret prisons around the world where detainees may be tortured, and CIA ghost planes which transport suspects from country to country. America's critics may not be satisfied with today's announcement. Many point out that the US definition of torture is different to the accepted international definition. The same questions are bound to be raised about what America means by the term cruelty.
The U.S. military confirmed today it has paid to plant stories in the Iraqi press to help further U.S. war goals. During a closed-door meeting with Senate leaders, military officials described this Pentagon program for the first time. They said the program was an effort to give the truth to the Iraqi people. And they said it was critical to the war effort to counter misinformation.
We were talking last night about an incident at the Miami airport. There was obviously a passenger killed by an air marshal. Scary, tragic situation, confusing. But I guess the good news, the silver lining at least, is that the 24-hour networks were up and running to bring us information and context. Let's take a look.
Apparently, a shooting took place on this American Airlines jet. Unclear who was shot. We don't know who fired those shots. We don't know how many shots. There's a lot that's still up in the air.
Was this person of altered mental status? You know, was this person under the influence of alcohol?
I'd really hate to speculate. Again, I would be speculating.
We don't know. I don't want to speculate. Maybe it was someone that could follow who was getting off the aircraft.
We don't know how he made the threat. Did he scream it? Did he whisper it? Did he, in fact, pass a note?
He could have some sort of rap sheet. This may have been a fire marshal.
That's sheer speculation. I have nothing more than imagination to go on.
I don't know off the top of my head.
And we don't know.
This isn't 100% he or she. We don't know yet. We don't know whether the plane had taken off yet.
We don't know. We do not know the status of the suspect.
We don't know much right now.
I cannot tell you one bit of information about that.
We're not exactly sure. That may have been the case here. May not have been. I think that might have been. I don't know.
I have no idea.
Unfortunately, at this point, we just don't. We have no idea.
We're going to take a quick break. We're going to continue our extensive coverage.
Extensive coverage of what? You don't even know what you're coming.
And now an important announcement. This is the Iraq War. Cute little thing, isn't it? This adorable occupation has provided billions of dollars for needy defense industries and a serene, law-free environment for endangered contractors. But did you know the Iraq War is at risk? Even the generals don't like it anymore. Can you imagine? Look at its big brown eyes and ask yourself, how could someone close their heart to this war? Well, you can keep the Iraq War alive just by sending us $1.5 billion a week. $1.5 billion. Come on now, that's just the price of a movie ticket, plus your state's entire education budget. Please, we just want to continue to feed this war exactly the same way we've been doing, so it can grow bigger and stronger, and someday it can meet you in person. Send your money today, and we'll send you a personalized picture of the war you're helping to support. And no, wait a minute, actually we won't. The Pentagon doesn't want any pictures.
Return now to senior correspondent Rob Corddry, live in Baghdad. Rob, thank you so much for joining us tonight. The president today outlined the president today outlined a victory strategy based largely on our ability to train the Iraqi army.
Yeah, that's right, John. He's often stated, as the Iraqi army stands up, we will stand down. Our ultimate goal is to train their military and transform it into a powerful fighting machine. The scourge of the Middle East. A legion of bloodthirsty berserkers. And we're getting there, making good progress.
But Rob, isn't the whole reason that we invaded Iraq in the first place was to dismantle that type of army?
No. We invaded Iraq because we thought they had that type of army. This time, we're not leaving until we're sure they're a grave threat. It's called nation building, John. It's a lesson learned from the way we botched the end of World War II. By leaving Japan and Germany dangerously unarmed, we gave them no military-industrial complex to drain their resources. So they became economic superpowers. Sure, we won the war, but did we win the battle? Not this time around, John. We're going to build us one badass nation. And here we might give them nukes.
No, Rob.
Maybe.
I thought it was a gun. I had never seen a taser gun in my life.
The taser shot an electric pulse through her body.
I felt this excruciating pain, and I was immobilized, and you can't think or move, and I fell to the floor. And I crumbled up in a fetal position.
Then, the 68-year-old great-grandmother says the Franklin police lieutenant ordered her to roll over and stand up.
I thought, he is going to kill me. And then the next thing, he shot me again. And he kept saying all the time, get up, get up. And I couldn't. It just, like, paralyzes your body.
Finally, Kidwell was rushed to the hospital, and she says she's still under a doctor's care.
I've been involved in a lot of cases, and the first time I saw this video, I couldn't believe it. One of the most amazing things I've ever seen.
Rick Schulte has now filed a federal civil rights violation lawsuit against both the city of Franklin and Lieutenant Bowling.
If this officer had thought that Beverly Kidwell had killed someone, there are other means for him to protect himself and society to restrain her. This simply should not have taken place.
So why did the lieutenant use his taser? The Franklin Police Department won't answer the question, but Kidwell says she was in the police station's lobby waiting for an officer to talk about a family fight she had with her adult granddaughter. She says she waited a long time, and when she finally decided to leave, the lieutenant came out.
He said, no, you can't leave. And I said, well, why can't I leave? And he said, you just sit there.
And that's when she says he started firing the taser, 5 times in all.
It's taken my life away from me since last April because I'm scared.
I told you, it ain't gonna be that way.
Brokeback Mountain is the first gay love story to star two A-list Hollywood actors. It's also the first gay cowboy movie. Heath Ledger and Jake Gyllenhaal play ranch hands in Wyoming who struggle to overcome the obstacles in their relationship. Despite what some might consider an explicit love scene and partial nudity, many who are involved with the movie or who have seen it insist it can appeal to wide audiences.
It was a love story, you know? It wasn't about two guys, it was about two people.
To me, what's important is that it's a beautiful story.
A lot of men might not rush out to see this movie, but I do think that America at large is ready for something like this.
Not everyone agrees. One group that works to quote-unquote cure gays is urging people not to see the movie.
It's something that's absolutely being marketed to kids who will take away, oh, I can be like Jake Gyllenhaal, I can be like Heath Ledger, that's what our relationship can be like.
South Africa's highest court today ruled in favor of gay marriage. That could clear the way for South Africa to legalize same-sex unions. But the court gave Parliament a year to make the necessary changes in the law. South Africa recognized the rights of homosexuals in its post-apartheid constitution. It's the first constitution in the world to prohibit discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation.
Yeah!
This month, it's Jack Abramoff's Moonlight Madness Sale. I'm Crazy Jack Abramoff, and I spent this year buying way too many members of Congress. And now, I have to get rid of them. Quick. And you pick up the savings. What do you need? Representatives, senators, senior committee members? Hell, I've got majority leaders. Come on down. I'm giving them away.
Insane.
I have overstocks, irregulars, even floor of the Senate models. It all must go before 2006. Well, November 2006. But I have to move now. Normally, you'd have to spend decades lobbying and funneling money to afford this type of influence. But I've done it all for you.
Holy cow.
And this week only, buy two congressmen and get an all-expense-paid golf vacation free.
Yeah!
I'm overstocked, overextended, and overexposed. So come on down to Crazy Jack Abramoff's today. Don't delay!
With fanfare and flags waving, leaders thank Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez for promising 8 million gallons of the oil to low-income families in Serrano's New York district, which he describes as the poorest in the nation.
There are some people that are saying that President Chavez is doing this to score points with the poor in America, and then I welcome every major corporation in this country to score points in my district with the poor.
But at this point, Serrano says no other corporations have stepped up. That leaves Chavez in the spotlight, not just in the Bronx, but in Massachusetts, where a similar deal was announced last month. Some say it's a move by the Venezuelan leader to embarrass the Bush administration, which has been highly critical of Chavez, who's vowed a new socialism.
He's beginning to penetrate the U.S. market, essentially attacking at the heart of the enemy, so to speak.
But officials from Venezuela insist the move to provide heating oil is not about presidents, but people.
Low-income people in the U.S. is exactly the same as low-income people in Venezuela.
Among those targeted, Patrice McLeese, who lives in a two-bedroom apartment with her husband and three children. She says she's been paying attention to Hugo Chavez's moves, especially since he visited the South Bronx in September. She says in the end, politics don't matter.
I know people firsthand that are going to benefit at the end of all this. The rent won't have to go up.